go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 121 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. I am wearing glasses purposely because I need a disguise myself. I have 20/20 vision. Yes, there was a point in time where I did put that on my resume. It did not get me employed anywhere, anytime, at all. Lots of thanks, but no thanks. We don't want you. That is, so I wear these glasses. Right now, I'm wearing them for aesthetic purposes only, to try to disguise who I am. Because I had an altercation recently, no fault of my own. I've been saving this story because I want to tell this story and go right into a Reddit post I had found a while back. And there's some symmetry between the two. Enough with the fluff, B-Man. Enough with the fluff, People's Degenerate. Tell us what happened. All right. So it's the round of 64. March Madness. The B-Man. I do not have a TV in my apartment. I don't watch much TV. I am a content creator more so than a content consumer. Anyway, I'm a graduate. I went to of UConn, University of Connecticut. I keep, you know how colleges will tell you how much, like, what's the average salary of all the graduates? I bring that down very, very much so. Anyways, so I go to this bar, local bar, to watch the game, right? Because I don't have a TV in an apartment, but I am a fan of UConn. So I go to this bar, local place, so I won't say the name. And it's very festive because it's in Connecticut. So everyone's cheering for UConn. They end up winning by, I don't know, 7-10 points. I forget. It doesn't matter. So it's about 11 p.m. It was about 9:30 start game, 11 p.m., 11:30. So the bar starts to disperse. I decide that the game's over. Everyone in this bar is like 10 years younger than me. Time to peace out. So the B-Man, I pay my tab. I tip. We know I'm a big tipper of the bartenders here at Verbal Graffiti. So I'm walking down the street. I take a turn, and there's a group of, I don't know, maybe college, maybe mid-20s, a group, mix, you know, boys and girls, chads and babes, and they're, I don't know, 5-6 steps ahead of me. Anyway, so I go to cross the street, and I'm looking at my phone because, again, it's late at night. It's, I don't know, 11:30, 12-ish, I don't know, what time is it? And then I know, I hear, and in my peripheral vision, again, the B-Man, 20/20 vision, I still have, I have very, very sensitive peripheral vision. My eyesight, magnificent. Anyway, so I see a hobo. And I use that term as a slur, hobo. I'm looking at my phone, and I hear the hobo yell out, "You faggot!" And I'm like, "Whoa, whoa!" I start to get the goosebumps. It's late at night, it's dark, there's people around, so I'm not nervous, but I do sense that the "you faggot" is being directed at me and nobody else. And then I keep walking. Do not make eye contact. That's something. The B-Man, I learned, I've spent about 10 years in New York City, living, working there, and doing stand-up there, and I don't know what it is about me, but the hobos love to start altercations with me, and I want no part of altercations with hobos, because they have nothing to lose, and I don't have much to lose, but I have more to lose than the hobos, and that's an equation I do not want to be involved in. I think the hobos like to start shit with me because I'm a ball. I shave my head, so maybe they think I'm a skinhead. Now, I am not a skinhead. Now, I do watch skinhead documentaries, but I am not a skinhead. But maybe the hobos think I'm a skinhead. For whatever reason, the hobos love to yell out at me. But I learned those 10 years in New York City, plus that when a hobo yells at you, you do not turn around. That is a no-no. You do not turn your head and engage with the you with the whole. That is like you're putting your life in your own hands if you do that. And I learned very, very quickly in New York City, hey, you faggot, keep going. Keep going. Pretend like you don't hear it. They'll keep yelling. Eventually, that noise will fade. So that 10 years in New York City trained me for this altercation a couple weeks ago in New Haven. I'm crossing the street. This hobo, which I am still angry at, goes, you faggot. And he goes, you like that photo you take of me? And he must have thought, because I had my phone out, you know, looking at the time, again, late at night, whatever, you know, you do what you do. He must have thought I was taking a photo of him, which I do not take photos of the hobos. I want nothing to do with the hobos. The last thing I want to do is put a lasting image of a hobo in my expensive iPhone. That's something to be man don't do. But he goes, you faggot, you like that photo? And he keeps calling me a faggot. And again, this is not me using the word faggot. Gay slurs, it's not. I use slurs, but the gay ones, even as a young toddler, I was just, gay slurs were not something to be, man. It's the word gay, faggot, words, those are words they were not part of my vernacular. So this is him to say, you faggot, you like that picture? And he goes, you have HIV, you like your HIV? And immediately, like, it was very... Like the group in front of me, they turned around. I was not turning my head around, but I knew they turned around and none of them gave the hobo a look. Like, it was very apparent that the hobo was calling the B-man a faggot. You faggot! And I was like, okay. And then immediately once he said, you have HIV, I knew that hobo probably has HIV, because most people, hobo or normal, do not have HIV on their mind unless you have HIV. You don't yell out, you have HIV, late at night in a dispersing crowd, unless you probably have HIV yourself or have just interacted with somebody who has HIV. Now, I do not have HIV. I do not have it. I do not have sex, anal sex with men. I do not share needles. I'm not a drug user, so I'm not sharing needles with other drug users. I remember in school when they tried to scare you into, oh yeah, heterosexual couples can get HIV. No, you can't. It's almost an impossibility. The way you get HIV, and my friend taught me this, who is a urologist, is anal sex with another man, and or sharing needles. That's basically the only way you get HIV. Maybe you get really, really unlucky with if you need a blood transfusion. But basically, if you're having just normal, I shouldn't say normal, but if you're having, you know, heterosexual sex or lesbian sex, like, you ain't getting the HIV. You ain't getting the H. You ain't getting the I. You ain't getting the B. But this guy was persistent. Like, he started following me. Like, there was probably 10 yards, 15, 20 yards between us. But he kept yelling, you faggot, you like that photo, you got HIV, you got HIV, you faggot. And he kept getting more angry, more intense. And I did not turn my head. I am not engaging with a hobo who is calling me faggot and accusing me, the B-man, of having HIV. That is an altercation. 11:30 at night, I am not going to have. All right? UConn won the game. I'm happy. I am not going to ruin it by turning around and potentially getting into a physical fist fight with a hobo that very likely has HIV. That's not how I want my life to go down. All right? My life is down. I don't want it to go down any further. But then it just... And eventually, like, we probably went... two red lights with this guy following me, maybe like 20 yards behind me. He goes, you faggot, HIV, why are you taking a picture of me? Faggot, you got HIV. And he just kept, and he was intent. And eventually, like, I don't know what happened to him. Like, maybe he just dropped dead of his HIV, of his hoboness. I don't know what happened. He disappeared in the night. Hobos are very good, very adept at disappearing after yelling at you. I learned that in New York City as well. But after that altercation, like, I, if there was a cop with a baton, a billy club, beat the shit out of him. Beat the shit out of him. In downtown New Haven, there are cops there. There are cops there. I am radicalizing myself. Once a homeless person, a hobo, not homeless, not a bum, a hobo, starts trying to cause shit with just a guy, the B-man, anybody for that matter, just walking, minding his or her own business. Once you yell out and use any kind of slur, all right, or accuse anybody of having a deadly disease, if a cop hits him over the head with the butt of his rifle or a billy or a baton, I'm not making a camera. I'm not taking my camera out. Good, good. That hobo has it coming to him. We need more cops. How do I say this? Okay, all right. Well, who's that guy who's to put his knee? All right, Derek Chauvin, the cop who killed, what's that guy's name? You know, a few years ago, like 8 minutes, and he choked to death. Cops should be allowed, if the hobos are engaging with just normal people, put the knee on the neck 7.5 minutes, like within 5 breaths of his life. Right? Don't kill him, but scare him a lot and beat the shit out of him. Honestly, if I saw a hobo yelling out at just a normal pedestrian, go, "You faggot, you got HIV," and a cop came and just started beating the shit out of that hobo, and guys or gals started taking out their cell phone to take a video, I would like take my shirt off and block their phones so that cop didn't get in trouble. I mean, come radicalized, man. You should be allowed to walk a city block without being called, "You faggot, you got HIV," and potentially getting an altercation. So that just, like, can I not walk 2 blocks without somebody asking me for money or accusing me or yelling out slurs, convincing people I have HIV? I do not have HIV. I do not have HIV. I have no... I'm very fearful of a lot of diseases and cancers and things that don't have cures. But HIV, that's one disease I've never had any fear. Once I learned how you actually get HIV, of ever having. So, but the hobos, I'm fearful of them. I am fearful of them, and they deserve to get their ass beat. Not killed. I don't want them killed. But if they got a few teeth knocked out. And I don't hate all hobos. The B-man, I will tell you, the next day, the next afternoon, I saw another, I won't use the word hobo, because to me, that's a slur. This was just a bum, a regular street bum, a jolly fellow. He had a yellow, a bright yellow wool hat on, you know, it was spring, but, you know, he had winter clothing, he had boots. He was joyful. He was talking to another street bum, and the guy, he just cracked open a tall boy, a Natty Ice tall boy, the blue can, 24 ounce. He didn't even have it. He wasn't even brown bagging it. It was middle of the afternoon, 2 p.m., cracked it open, sidewalk for anybody to see, started sipping it, and then I walked by him. He had a smile, no interaction at all. And that guy, cool. Let that guy live on the street. Let him live his life. Let him drink, have an open container in public in the middle of the afternoon. I fuck with that guy. Not fucking back and forth, but if that guy gets beat up by a cop, hey, get the phone out, take a video, and you know, that cop should be arrested. So that one, I'm with that guy. Hey, live on the street. I'm cool with you. But you start, "You faggot, you got HIV. What, you're liking that photo?" Like, someone's got to knock you upside the head. So, you know, there's two dichotomies. There are street bums that are lovely. And then there are hobos. And the hobos, they need a hobo knocked out of them. Let's get on to something I found on Reddit. Keeping the theme going along. This comes from the subreddit, Dark Confession Room. "I'm rich and I like to screw over poor people. From 2009 to 2010, I invested a couple of thousand in Bitcoin. Over the fall of 2017, I sold it all. I'll let you estimate the math on that. We do not do math here at Verbal Graffiti. I also rebought the dip and sold again during the pandemic. I believe with every fiber of my being that the money makes me better than most of you, and I like being an asshole to poor people. I've gone full Karen on fast food employees just to make their days worse. I've told lies to get people fired. I fold up novelty bills and hand them over to beggars at red lights. I started doing gig work a couple times a month in an expensive luxury car and tell customers there's no need to tip because Uber Eats, DoorDash, etc. pay so well and point to my car as proof. I take a lot of pleasure in putting the rest of you in your place. I did take joy in reading your post. Now do I agree or do I disagree with how you live your life, with your own personal philosophy? I fuck with 75% of what you're doing, and then there's 25% of me that thinks you need to get fucked. This is my theory. And you kind of learned in the opening what my theory is with the poor people. If you invade a poor person's if you invade the place of poor people and you try to fuck with them, I can't fuck with that. Like that is a no-go for me. That is bad karma. But if the poors, if the people with no money, the beggars, the hobos, if they invade your space, you're allowed to fuck with them. You're allowed to do whatever you want short of murder. That is my rule. Let me explain. And I do, you know, when you say, are you better with money? Are you better than people without money? I kind of do agree with you because I personally said, when I go to a package store, all right, so a package store in Connecticut, that's like a liquor store because we're not allowed to get it at gas stations. Like a lot of times I'll be getting a bottle of Canadian Club. I'll be bending over. That's about like $23 a bottle. So I got to go take the bottom shelf. I got to bend over, get on my knee. If I see a guy or a lady pulling a bottle from eye level or the higher shelf, like an actual glass bottle, I assume that person is better than me. That person who could buy top shelf liquor probably has more money than me, probably has a family, has children. When he or she goes out for drinks, they'll pick up the tab. When he goes out with his lady, he'll pay the bill. He's involved in his community, doesn't have a project called Verbal Graffiti with smut literature behind him. They, in all intents and purposes, that guy or gal is better than me because he or she has more money than me. They don't have to go to the bottom shelf where I live. So I do agree with you. Again, 75% of the time, you're probably right. Like, you're probably better than the people who have to buy generic brand cereal. You just are. You just are. But when it comes to fucking with the pores and taking pleasure from it, be careful. Because if you invade, let's say McDonald's, for example, you go into McDonald's and you start causing a hissy fit. You start causing altercations. You go full Karen with the lady, the worker behind the counter taking your order, and you ask to speak to the manager, and you lie, and you do something to get that person working at McDonald's fired, you deserve, right? There should be a guillotine in the playscape at McDonald's where they put your head in and murder you right there. Death, no trial, no jury of your peers, nope. You call a manager, you go straight to the guillotine, chop your head off. Because that person, those people working at McDonald's, They're living an honest life. Yeah, maybe they're not rich. You have more money than they do. But to go into their space and try to fuck up their day when their life is already miserable. People who work at McDonald's do not enjoy their life. So for you, a rich person, to go into their world inside of McDonald's or through the drive-thru and purposely try to make their day more worse than it already is, you're a shit human being and you deserve the guillotine on the spot, and they should hang your head at the street light and let everybody know, hey, come in, get your double cheeseburger, get your large fry, your vanilla milkshake, but don't fuck with the workers here or else you're going up there. And I'd be for the guillotine. I'd be like, hey, good, like, you deserve to die. But I will also say, let me give you another example. All right. So let's say you're driving, right? You pull up to a light, you got your Audi 2025 RS7. The car costs about $140,000. You pull up, you know, you got your nice leather interior, your heated seats. You pull up, you get a red light, and then some hobo comes up to you, knocks on the door. He's got the cardboard sign. He starts doing the squeegee. He's trying to get a couple bucks from you. I am all for you fucking with that hobo, because in that red light, you're in your space and the hobo is invading your space. Therefore, you have license to fuck with him. Go ahead. Give him Monopoly money. Right? Give him fake money that he thinks real. And fuck with his head. Honestly, if I was in the passenger seat of your Audi, I'd say, hey, move your head back. And I would shoot him with a squirt gun. I'd laugh at him. I'd make him wet. Like, that guy, that hobo knocking on your windshield, he deserves whatever you want to give him. That is, do you see the line? Right. Once you go into McDonald's or once you go into their space, you cannot fuck with them. But once the hobo enters your domain, go ahead. Free reign. Whatever you want to do. You know, whatever heinous, the Game of Thrones type torture you want to that hobo, go ahead. And I'll shoot him with a squirt gun right behind you. That's how passionate I am about what you're doing. Now, I will say, I'm not rich, right? I'm not rich. Verbal graffiti does not make any money yet. I'm probably in a hole $20,000 in this project. I'm not successful financially or career-wise. So, but if I was, and if I ever do become rich, I am going to do what you do, all right? I'm going to become an Uber driver. I'm going to take a part-time job because there's got to be nothing more fun than having a job that you don't care about. And if you get fired, it has no effect on your life. Like, you don't care about losing the money. Like, we're at a point now with Uber drivers where Uber drivers are so nice to me that it's off-putting and makes me, the B-man, feel uncomfortable. Like, oh, is the temperature okay? What type of music would you like to listen to? Would you like a nice chilled bottle of water? It's like, bro, I paid you $40, all right? Bring me from my house to my mistress's apartment. This is not, I'm not part of some Amex reward program. Like, just drive, don't talk. It's a transaction. Like, why are you asking me for a bottle of water? Honestly, now, if you're rich, like you are, or if I was rich and I was, it's got to be so liberating being an Uber driver and not having to worry about your 5-star rating. Now, I would fuck with everyone I picked up. I'm like, oh, hey, Buttercup, you look like you got some nice jigglers. How about you pull down that top, that blouse of yours? Hey, buddy, oh, starts yapping. Oh, you're a raging liberal. I'm going to turn on a Joe Rogan episode right now. We're going to listen to that for the next 3 hours. Somebody comes in and they have BO, they're like, hey, buddy, very disrespectfully, I'm going to pull over and you need to get out of my luxury vehicle because you got BO and I don't want that in my vehicle. Everybody who comes into my car, I'm just fucking with them because if I don't care about my star rating. Give me 2 stars. Fine. If Uber fires me, big deal. I'm a multimillionaire. I bought Bitcoin in 2011 or whatever the fuck you bought it. So where your mind's at, wherever it ticks that way, my brain ticks that way as well. Unfortunately, I do not have the funds in my index fund to live out the way you're living your life. But again, maybe I hope to be there one day. So if I pick you up and I'm driving Uber as your Uber driver, do know I made it here at Verbal Graffiti and I'm going to fuck with you that entire ride. But again, do not invade the poor space and fuck with them. That's bad karma. Guillotine. Die. Let's go look at some photos. 5 days a week, the B-Man does 50 burpees in a row. They're horrid looking. It looks like a jellyfish trying to do a burpee. Down, up, down, up. Form, horrendous. There's no form at all. But do you think I, the B-Man, you think I want to be doing burpees? No, I do not want to be doing burpees. I'd rather be eating tostilla chips in salsa, dipping them, eating 50 of those, rather than down, up, down, up. But the reason why I do these 50 burpees 5 days a week is because there are hobos yelling at me on the street, trying to start shit, altercations. I need to do these burpees just in case one of these hobos gets close enough to me where I need to actually run and out sprint and have enough energy, enough cardio, vascular, just boom, 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 that I can outrun that hobo who's yelling at me. That's where we're at now in society, where those of us outside of prison who are free need to do burpees just in case. Just in case one of the hobos decides, oh, that person, I'm gonna go try to touch that person and drag him down into the hobo world with me. Well, it ain't gonna happen to the B-Man because I'm doing my diligence. I am doing my 50 burpees 5 days a week. And I ain't doing it for my body. I ain't doing it for my health. I ain't doing it for my cardiovascular heartbeat. I don't care if my veins get clotted or whatever the hell happens to your body. I'm doing it so that hobo, wherever he's coming from, does not touch me. And I shouldn't have to do those 50 burpees, but I do. And I'm doing them. Because that hobo's going to touch somebody, and it ain't going to be me. And if it is me, he's going to have to run 2 blocks to get me. He ain't going to just get me right away. Uh-uh. We're going 3-4 blocks. There's going to be people who see you chasing after me. So there will be witnesses that see what's going down, and you're getting yours. But you ain't getting me because I'm doing my 50 burpees. There's a lot more I wanted to talk about. I had a thing about hemorrhoids, but these hobos on the street, New York, New Haven, every city, suburbs. I went to Kohl's. You go out to Kohl's, there's a red light, there's a guy with a cardboard sign. Help me, help me. No. It ain't happening. Do some burpees. All right, moving forward. Found this one from a subreddit. This is a subreddit I frequent quite often. This comes from a subreddit, Toilet Squirters Anon. Okay. Why so accepting of being pussy free? Early 40s, beta male here, me as well. It's been a few years since I last had sex. Even before then, coming in the toilet was my main sexual activity. Let me repeat that sentence. Even before then, coming in the toilet was my main sexual activity. My question is, why are us on this sub like this? Question mark. Most men, even unattractive ones, will try more, attempt affairs, see prostitutes. But I'm content just squirting in the toilet. I can't boogie with you. I cannot boogie down with your mindset and where you're coming. What you need to do, you need to have more respect for your semen and where you're squirting your sperm. Now, I am of the belief, the B-man, that squirting in, masturbating and shooting your cum into the toilet bowl, that's satanic. You need to have more respect for your semen and where it's being shot. Now, I'll admit, hey, B-man, have you ever squirted? Have you ever hawked a dick loogie in the toilet bowl? Yes, I have. I have. And there have been times when I've shared hotel rooms with people, or I've been on vacation with the family, or, you know, you're at your mistress's place. There were just times when you got to get it out, and the only thing available is the toilet bowl. But in my life, no more than 10 times has the B-man hawked a dick loogie into the toilet bowl. There's something about watching your cum just in the toilet water, just kind of spreading apart, and you jizz, and you watch your cum, your love juices, and it's drowning inside a toilet bowl, and then you flush it down the toilet, and it goes in your semen that you worked so hard wanking to get it out of you, like that semen is meant to make life. To make your offspring, your legacy. And then you're willingly shooting it into a toilet bowl to drown. And then you flush it down into some sewer system with all the shit and the pee and the tampons and the real, like, mouth loogies and toilet paper. Is there anything more satanic you can do with your semen than that? I don't think there is. I do not think there is. Because you think about your semen for a moment, sir, if you will. Like you shoot your dick loogie, right? You shoot it out, and then your semen, your sperm, it hits the toilet water. Your semen, it doesn't have the brain we have. It's going to naturally assume that toilet water is the vagina. And I go, oh, wow. And then he's going to be, well, why is it so cold? So it's chilly in here. Why is the vagina ice water? And then the sperm is in there. Like, why is there so much space to swim around? It's supposed to be tight, and it's supposed to be like a race of the million of a sperm into that cervix. And then before it knows it, like, boom, dead, drowns to death. It is just, I, the B-man, I have more respect for my semen than to let it just drown atop toilet water. And so should you. You're right. You're sexless the last few years. You will not have sex with a real babe until you have more respect for your own semen. That's a promise from the B-man to all of you Johns. You will not be allowed to have sex with a babe until you respect your semen. All right, that's just fact. That's why I've always been, probably since, well, the first few, right, we're not going to get into the first few years of masturbating. That's like three episodes worth of material right there. But in my adulthood, right, post-puberty, I have always been a cum rag guy. All right? I'm at the point now where I have a beach towel. All right? I stand up, or when I stand up, because that's alpha, and I put out a beach towel. That way, I have no fear of when I shoot my dick loogie. I have no fear of where it's going, because it's going to land somewhere on the beach towel. So therefore, that allows me to enjoy my nut. Does that make sense to you? That's why I've never been a Kleenex guy. I know I have roommates in the past who were Kleenex guys. And to me, the Kleenex doesn't give you enough circumference when you're masturbating. Therefore, you got to use the Kleenex as a catcher's mitt to catch your cum. And when you're doing that, like, can you really enjoy your nut when you're worried about the catching the nut with the Kleenex? Again, that's the beauty of using a beach towel. There's so much space wherever your dick loogie goes. It don't matter. It's going to land on the towel unless you're a savage, unless you're like a male porn star or you have a semen retention for months on end. Like in most cases, unless you're an outlier, like it will land on the beach towel. And it's always land on the beach towel for the B-man. That's why I'm a cum rack, beach towel. Again, same thing with a toilet bowl. Like the science of wanking it into a toilet bowl. How do you do that? How? Like I pee standing up. I miss the toilet bowl all the time. There are so many times I'm not. Like you go to pee. All right, it's late at night. You pee. You don't hear the water. You don't hear your pee hitting the toilet water, and you get a little, where's the water? And then you're like, oh shit, it's on the side of the toilet, it's on the bowl, it's on the seat, like it's everywhere but the toilet water. And I'm doing that with my pee, which is one stream, constant stream. How are you doing that with your dick loogie? Because when I wank it, when the B-man wanks it, my Mr. Perfect, my penis, is pointed upward. So if I'm wanking into a toilet bowl, that means I need to get some type of an arc on my nut so that it will like, go up and then down into the toilet water. And let me tell you, so it's very similar in that regard to a free throw. Now think about Steph Curry. Steph Curry, I believe, shoots free throws at 94%, the best to ever do it. But that means, all right, so with your dick loogie into the toilet bowl, even if you're the Steph Curry of dick loogies, you're going to miss the toilet water 6% of the time. And knowing that 6 out of every 100 times you're going to miss the toilet water, like how can you enjoy the whole process of masturbating when you know that 6 out of 100 times, if you're the best of the best, if you're a professional dick loogie doer, like you're gonna miss your spot. Like how? That's why you gotta go cum rag, beach towel, fat person, big one, like big, the biggest towel you can get. So you have enough, you know, they have enough space so that you can shoot it anywhere and you can really enjoy loving yourself and your love juices that come from you. So I can't condone wanking it into the toilet. You need to have more respect for your anatomy and especially your love juices. And that's what I got to say about that. Let's continue reading A Salesman's Wife by the author John Lawrence. Critically acclaimed John Lawrence, that is. We are atop of page 113. We will read 2 pages together aloud. Inside, somewhere, the 2 blunt-edged rods of male flesh were rubbing against each other, separated by only the thin partition of tight, elastic flesh, dividing her cunt and anal passage. She groaned in both anguish and ecstasy and held onto Garrett's shoulders, gripping his flesh, savagely as the 2 powerfully aroused males began to fuck her, slowly at first, then increasingly their thrust with animal excitement. She was impaled brutally from both sides. Her body was racked with alternative rushes of pain and delight, yet she craved it. Her breath came faster and faster, and she trembled from head to foot with raging desire. Oh, God, she screamed in ecstasy. Yes, yes, Carlsberg cried as his cock ravished her tight rectal sheath with hard, brutal strokes. He gasped with sadistic pleasure and then plunged full length of his lust-incited shaft far up into her helplessly exposed back passage. Yes! Garrett was fucking her with the same mad urgency as his father. He was excited by the knowledge that he was sharing this shameless debauchery with his own father. And his soft, creamy female with the mutually ravished was certainly one of the choicest creatures he had ever screwed. Fuck! Fuck! He groaned as he impaled her with steadily rising fury. The sound of the amplified heartbeats came faster and faster in the room now, and all three felt themselves fall into complete synchronization with savagely throbbing rhythm. All three bodies writhed and thrashed deep in the throes of tempestuous sensuality. Screams of delight filled the air, and they clutched at each other's nakedly writhing bodies with feverish lust. The unwittingly adulterous young housewife gave herself eagerly to the lewd, thrusting cocks that filled her. She felt as if she were on an incredible roller coaster ride in a frenzy of thrills and passion. Her body was shaking wildly, her mind reeled with delight. Oh God, she screamed. It's wonderful. Oh, fuck me hard. She could hardly believe the obscene words that escaped her lips. She had never in her life had said such things, yet it didn't matter now what she said or did. She was free, free as a bird, thrilled beyond measure. Ram me, she found herself crying lewdly. Ram me! Carlsberg exulted in triumph when he heard her. She was truly his greatest success thus far. She capitulated to his every wish. Now he had the extraordinary pleasure of enjoying this luscious creature with his own son. He was proud of Garrett, proud that he was able to teach him so well, and proud that his handsome son was such a good student. He could take his father's place someday and continue his debauchery therapy. Go suck a fat one.